Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to the Strictly Anonymous Podcast. Strictly Anonymous Podcast. Conversations with online strangers. We place ads online.
Craigslist is definitely the gift that keeps on giving.
Real people respond.
You go to Singapore or Thailand, you can't not do it. The temptation is just too much.
Real problems.
Does your friend know that you're banging her?
No, he has no idea.
And anything goes.
Motto of the show, let your Greek flag fly.
Probably the only good advice I'll ever give you is to rehide your whips and chain.
Here is your host, Kathy.
Hey, welcome to Strictly Anonymous Podcast with Kathy. You want to follow Strictly Anonymous Podcast on Instagram or Twitter, follow me at Strict Anonymous. And if you're listening on YouTube, make sure to subscribe to my channel. Just go to the top bottom right corner, click subscribe, and make sure to like and share my videos and comment below. What I love about YouTube is, as a platform for my show, is the fact that people comment there and I get to get into conversations with my listeners. That's what I love. So go to YouTube to talk about this episode if you want to, and if you're listening, make sure to subscribe. I'm going to be taping people again to be on my show, so if you want to be on, send me an email at strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. Tell me a little bit about yourself in the email, and then I'll get back to you. Today, I have a guy named Aaron Canada. Now, Aaron Canada created a short that I saw on erectile dysfunction. I thought the short was so great that I literally sent it to two of my list and my callers who I knew had this problem, because I was like, I think that this could really help them. And it was just a short. He's in the process actually of doing a full-length documentary. It's called Sexual Dysfunction, A Love Story. It's about him and his girlfriend and his producer, I think it is, journey of figuring out how to conquer their sexual dysfunction. He's got ED, his girl's got something else. The producer, like I said, that he met up with also has ED. That producer started an anonymous community for guys with erectile dysfunction, and it's anonymous, so you could go there. There's thousands of people who have signed up. It's a great place to go, like I said, anonymously, and talk to other people who are just like you. Links to all of these things are going to be in the description below. Links to the short that I think is fantastic. You should watch that first, because that gives you a little backstory on it. There's a lot of great experts in there talking about erectile dysfunction, you know, what is the cause of it, what are the solutions, and then there will be a link to his Kickstarter campaign. You could donate to help him finish his documentary, and then there'll also be a link to that online anonymous community for you guys to sign up and join. I think erectile dysfunction is very common. Not only do I think it, I mean, I learned this by watching his show, right? It's a very common problem, but it's something that people don't talk about. And the reason why I decided to have Aaron Canada on is because I think that it's really important for people to talk about things like this. I think what he's doing is fantastic, and I wanted to support his cause on this episode. Not only does he talk about erectile dysfunction and, you know, what you could do about it, he also talks about his personal experience with it, as well as his girl's personal experience with her sexual dysfunction. So sit back, relax, and I'm going to be right back on with Aaron.
This is the Strictly Anonymous Podcast.
Hey, Aaron Canada. Welcome to the Strictly Anonymous Podcast. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, no, thanks for coming on. You're Aaron Canada, and that is your real name, even though it sounds like a fake name, who the
fuck's... Yeah, it sounds like a stage name, right?
Yeah, I would be like, why? If you said, oh, I'm going to use this fake name, Aaron Canada, I'd be like, please don't make your last name a country. I mean, that's so dumb. Okay, anyway. So, Aaron, I found you because you emailed me a link to a short film, right? It's a short, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you made on erectile dysfunction. Now, I talk a lot about PE, right? Which is premature ejaculation. But what you're talking about on your short film and what you have experience about, which is another problem that guys have, is getting it up, keeping it up, that kind of issue, right? And it can be, there's all ranges in that issue, right? I had a guy on who has, because of diabetes, I mean, he hasn't had an erection in years. You know, it can be that extreme, mm-hmm. right? And it can be less extreme.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, diabetes is a big one.
Yeah.
Because from my understanding, you know, basically what happens is over time, the blood vessels just start to degrade and tear yeah. apart. And I mean, you know, when you have bad vessels, you know, you have bad blood flow. And the one thing you need to rise to the occasion is good blood flow. So, yeah, it's you know, it can have varying levels of severity, but it's extremely common for a whole host of reasons. And that's what I was trying to get across most in the short is like, look, if you think you're the only one, you're certainly not.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how many downloads this episode gets, right? That's how I always know, you know? And so why don't you explain, because you have a personal experience with this, right? And then, cause you have it or had it, I'm assuming maybe you cured it. Like, I mean, tell me your story.
Yeah. So it is, it's still an ongoing process.
Mm-hmm.
So I first noticed the problem when I was about 17, it's something that I'll never forget because it was that, like, it's just an indelible memory that's going to stick with you forever. So I was hanging with one of my, you know, with my best friend at the time, and we went to hang out with his girlfriend after her prom, and why he didn't go with her to her prom is a whole different story. We were hanging with them, and she had a friend over, and, you know, one thing led to another. We went back to my house because my mom was out of town. And then again, one thing led to another. And this, you know, this friend and I went upstairs and, you know, with every intention of getting down and dirty, and, you know, she's naked, I'm naked, I'm on top of her. I've somehow gotten the condom on. But there's absolutely no like not even half of an erection, just nothing happening there. And that's when I first realized, like, oh, that's strange that I don't like this. What is going on here? And then it just kept kind of happening. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the definition of erectile dysfunction is, the inability to get and maintain an erection for any kind of intimacy, but mostly with intercourse is when it's usually the most difficult.
Right.
And that's what I noticed over, you know, the next couple of years and didn't really understand what was going on, but, you know, with partners, I would either not be able to get an erection or, you know, I would get one, but I wouldn't be able to maintain it all that long.
Mm-hmm.
And so still kind of dealing with it to this day. There's so many great treatment options out there that I've been able to live, you know, a fairly quote unquote normal sex life. But it is something that I will most likely have to deal with for the rest of my life.
What was the reason for your dysfunction? You know, because there's all different kinds of reasons for it. Can you list those and then tell me, like, your experience?
Right. Yeah. So there's usually it's physical. Actually, one thing that I try to tell everybody and anybody that asks me about this topic is, if you're experiencing erectile dysfunction, you need to at the very least go get your heart checked out.
Right.
Because erectile dysfunction is a red flag warning for cardiovascular disease. So when you first notice erectile dysfunction, within 3 to 5 years, there's about a 50-50 chance that you'll experience your first major heart episode, whether it's angina, a heart attack, a stroke. So if you're experiencing ED and you're just now noticing it, go get your heart checked out at the very least. But, you know, other things, like you said, diabetes, hypertension, high cholesterol. I mean, really, anything that affects your heart, anything that affects blood flow is first going to affect your penis. And then there's also, you know, psychosomatic, psychological
yeah,
issues.
For sure.
My mm-hmm. personal one is anxiety.
Right.
Still, you know, from my earliest memories, I've had anxiety and it's never gone away. It's generalized anxiety disorder. So basically you're on edge all day, every day, at all times. And it's basically, you know, what anxiety is your body is just flooding with adrenaline. Your body is saying, all right, so something is wrong. There's danger somewhere. We've either got to run or we've got to fight. And so adrenaline is the fight or flight hormone. And as Paul Nelson in the film, as he puts it, you know, you can't run or fight with a raging boner. And so that, I think, is what my main issue is just anxiety is keeping me from performing the way that I'd like to. So it is, you know, if I'm able to get this anxiety figured out, if I'm able to quell it and get it taken away, I might have a shot at not having to use treatments to get an erection. But thankfully, there are treatments out there for every level of severity. And what they like to say at Mays Sexual and Reproductive Health up in New York, who's been working with us almost exclusively on these projects, is, you know, if you have a penis, we can get you an erection. Even after you're dead, we can get you an erection. So there's hope for guys no matter what.
No, I love the guy in New York City. He was a doctor. I forgot his name. He was a New York doctor. And he was like, you know, there's hope for every single person out there. And I love that. And I'm sorry, but like as a person who's had anxiety in my life, I'm a lot older than you. 100,000% you could get that anxiety, you know, in your past under control. Totally. It's doable. Mm-hmm. People have done it before. You could do it. You just have to believe that you can. And then that would, you know, fix that issue for you because yours is not a physical issue, right? So there's no way that you can't 100% fix your issue. I think that everybody's issues are different, right? But when it comes to, you know, a psychosomatic one, and if it's something like you said with anxiety and stuff, you just have to conquer that. And that has been conquered by millions of people before you, you know, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's correct, with medication, yeah, or through doing the things of trying to figure out where that's coming from, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's one of the things that we're going to be focusing on in the feature-length version that we're making now about sexual dysfunction in general in men and women. Is trying to find a way that I can get past this anxiety so I can at least, you know, not have, or at least try not to have erectile dysfunction anymore.
So it's, you know, for the guy that it's psychosomatic, like, I mean, what do they say for you? Like, do they say, you know, oh, go on medication for your anxiety? Did you ever try that?
So yeah, I do take, you know, a once daily thing. And as far as I know, that cuts the anxiety somewhat. But like you said, it's just a matter of finding the thing that works for you and believing that you can fix it. So yeah, no, that's definitely the way to look at it for this upcoming feature length. There's like no half measures. We're going all in no matter what to figure this thing out.
But let me ask you this, when you're solo pleasing yourself, right? Is there an issue or is it, and it's only with your partner, or is there also an issue then? Good news, Strictly Anonymous Podcast is looking for people to call into the show. So if you lead an interesting, naughty secret life that you want to talk about while remaining anonymous or not anonymous, if you're out and proud, that's cool too. Send me an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. That's strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. Or go to my website, strictlyanonymouspodcast.com, and click on Be on the Show. If you have a short confession that you want to get off your back, call my confessions hotline, 347-420-3579. That's 347-420-3579. You could call that number 24/7. I change all the voices on the confessions too, so you remain anonymous. The number, the website, and the email address will all be in the description.
So now that I'm getting a little bit older, I am noticing that when I am solo, it is still a little bit difficult. When I was younger, being solo, it was no problem.
Mm-hmm.
It was only when I was in the presence of someone else and we both had kind of the same goal, that's when, you know, I wouldn't be able to perform as I would have liked.
Right.
But yeah, solo, there's usually not, it's usually achievable is what I'll say. But, I mean, now that, you know, I've got the treatments like sildenafil, generic sildenafil is amazing. And so if I am ever having issues, whether it's with a partner or by myself, you know, that little magic pill definitely comes in handy.
Right. And are you in a relationship now? How old are you, by the way? Because you keep saying when you were younger, like, how old are you now?
So I'm 37.
Okay. And are you married? Are you in a relationship?
Just recently got engaged, actually.
Oh, okay. Congratulations. So how long have you been with your partner?
So she and I have been together, not long. It's funny that you say, like, when you find your soulmate, you know know it right away. You know,
sure,
it's the right one. Like, yep, that's exactly how it was. We met late August of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And within a couple of months, like, we were both like, yeah, this is it. This is what we can go with. 'Cause she hasn't had too many relationships. Mm-hmm. I've had many, many. And so it was great that we were both coming from opposite sides of the spectrum, and we could both tell, like, yeah, no, this is it.
Yeah, I believe in that. I think, you know, listen, everyone's story is very different. I've heard them all, and I've heard them all be successful with different kinds of starts, and they're all become unsuccessful with different kinds of starts. You know what I mean? It doesn't really matter. And I think the older you get, the quicker you know. It doesn't take as long. You know what I mean? So, you know, life's short. Like, why not? You know what I mean? I think it's great, especially for her, that she found, you know, being not a relationship person, right? And not, you know, found somebody who is, right, in you, and you have that. So that's like a good anchor for her, right? And maybe that's what she always needed, and you'll help her along to stay in that. So that's great. And so now, has she been, are you okay with her, like, as far as intimacy goes, and how do you bring it up with your partner?
So that is another major story. That is probably going to be the biggest storyline of the upcoming film that we're making about male and female sexual dysfunction.
Yeah.
She has what we haven't sought diagnosis yet, but based on my own research and the people I've talked to, we are almost 100% certain that she has what's called primary vaginismus, which is an involuntary contracting of the muscles in the vaginal walls that makes penetration nearly, if not entirely, impossible. So if you can believe it, I'm engaged to this person, and we've not yet had intercourse.
Oh, I could believe it.
Yeah.
Because you were like, you so, guys, you know, smelled each other from a mile away. Like, how perfect.
Right.
You know, for
exactly
those two people to come together, and you could, like, you know, try to conquer, but you're both, you know, trying to conquer things.
Right. And yeah, we've been pretty open with each other from the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, we're both filmmakers. We met on a film set. And so I had told her about my short on our first date, and what it was all about. So yeah, and that's something that guys with ED need to know. Like, if you talk about it up front, if you let your prospective romantic partner know about things right up front, like, you can definitely get past it a lot quicker, mm-hmm, and work with it, as opposed to trying to hide. It's like with anything. If you try to hide it, if you try to, you know, work your way around it, it's not going to go as well as you'd like. Just be open and honest with your partner from the beginning.
Who was open and honest first, you or her?
Oh, totally me. I having made a film about it where I'm on camera saying,
yeah, yeah,
hi,
yeah,
I talk to anybody I can about sex, sexual dysfunction, sex and sexuality in general. I mean, I work at a sex shop down here in Orlando.
Oh, really?
Like, it's my favorite. Yeah, it's my favorite thing to talk about.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was definitely more open.
Right. And then she then admitted to you, because it wasn't like something that she recently discovered. Like, this was something that she also had as an issue. So she was probably like, so maybe that's why she wasn't in a lot of relationships.
I would assume, you know, we've had discussions about it, especially considering that it's going to be, you know, part of the film. But yeah, it's no penetration possible. Even something as small as a finger is impossible and creates excruciating pain for her. So she talked about it to the best that she could without really knowing much about it. And then when I started researching for this upcoming film, I started researching female sexual dysfunction because I figured that's probably the next step, the next logical step to make.
You know,
I've got all this information about male sexual dysfunction, but if we're gonna reach everybody, we've got to acknowledge that it's not, obviously it's not just men, but we've got to let people know, like, female sexual dysfunction isn't talked about nearly as much,
mm-hmm,
as male sexual dysfunction, and they tend to experience it more often than men, or at least they self-report.
Right.
Depending on the surveys and the studies, you'll find that women self-report about 40 to 45% have some kind of sexual dysfunction. Men at about 30 to 35%. But since those are solely survey-based, you know, those numbers are probably much, much higher.
Of course, yeah. Mm-hmm. And maybe, and same thing, like, with the erectile dysfunction that you talk about, like, I mean, what she has is very extreme, right? But there's probably a lot of other you know, sexual dysfunction that women have that isn't that extreme, right? But that definitely plagues women.
Right. Yeah. And so one of the doctors we've been working with and interviewing is named Dr. Bathsheba Marcus. She wrote a great book called Sex Points, mm-hmm. where she actually breaks down female sexual dysfunction into four quadrants. There's pain disorders, orgasm disorders, arousal disorders, and desire disorders. And, you know, if you have some kind of sexual dysfunction, you're going to fall into one of those general categories.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the great thing about sexual dysfunction, if there is a great thing, is once you can at least admit to yourself that, okay, something might be wrong here,
yeah,
the diagnosis and treatment are readily available.
Right.
Readily available out there for you. And most of them are highly treatable.
Now, with your girl, right, what is the solution for her problem? Is her problem highly treatable? I'm assuming not, because you guys still haven't had sex.
Well, so it is, but we haven't really, you know, and I hate to say that the cost of healthcare is prohibitive, but it kind of is.
yeah,
and
that's
so
a whole other
that's
topic.
Why we're hoping. Yeah, so that's why we're hoping with this film we can gain access at least some discount access, or hopefully there's somebody out there who's willing to donate their services. Because treatment for it is fairly simple.
At
the most extreme. So basically it's all about using a series of dilators.
Right.
So basically, you know, you have the smallest one that's about the thickness of your pinky. You put that in, wear it for about 10 minutes or so, and you focus on relaxing. And relaxing the muscles in your vaginal walls away from the dilator.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you do that every day, and then you can graduate to the next largest, and the next largest, and the next largest. And in the most extreme cases, what they'll do, they call these people table jumpers. Like, even the sheer thought of having anything near their vaginal opening to be inserted causes them to jump off the table there and just hyperventilate.
Yeah.
So in the most extreme cases, what they'll do is they'll put the patient under general anesthesia, and then a series of Botox injections inside the vaginal wall, mm-hmm. along with lidocaine injections. And then once the muscles relax, they insert the largest dilator they have. Mm-hmm. And so when the patient comes out of general anesthesia, their first realization is, oh my God, there's something in there. And not only is there something in there, but it's very big and it doesn't hurt. And that right there is a great way to kickstart the ongoing process of then treating it, you know, gradually with the dilators over time. That first realization that this is not impossible, usually for the patients that undergo that treatment, is hugely beneficial.
Right. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it's in your head as one thing, and they're trying to change that.
Right. And it's like you were talking about, like, once you see that there is a solution, mm-hmm. you know, there's no half measures, there's no trying. It's like, okay, no, there is a solution, this is possible, let's keep working at it,
let's do it. Right. So those dilators, are they expensive?
Not prohibitively so. Right. And we've got some at the store that I work at. I can't remember the exact price, but it's around $30, just depending on how many dilators.
So you haven't dilated?
No, not yet. Until I found out about this, until I found out about the treatments, we didn't really know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I found out about it, being the forward-thinking filmmaker that I am, I thought, okay, we shouldn't do anything until we start filming. So,
oh, I get it.
At that point, what we can do is not only, you know, take her through the process and help her get through it as well, and we can also get it on camera so we can show the process from start to finish.
Right.
So other people dealing with this can also see, like, oh, you know, here's where she's at and here's where she's going, and this can be done. If she can do it, I can do it.
And how old is she?
She is 27.
She's 27, and this is something that's plagued her whole life. Has she ever had sex?
No.
No. Oh, interesting. Really, she mm-hmm. met the right guy. I mean, I'm telling you, I don't think that these things happen by coincidence.
Oh yeah, no doubt. It seems. And so my co-producer also is dealing with erectile dysfunction from prostate cancer treatment. So mm-hmm. the fact that the three of us just all came together. We, you know, I've known my co-producer for 7 years, you
right.
know, I met my fiance last year. And the yeah. fact that we all came together, we all have this, we all make film, it just seems like everything's the perfect confluence of events are coming together to make this a reality.
Right. And that's what you guys are here for, really, right? It's your calling. And, you know, thank God that, you know, your girl met somebody like you and you met somebody like her, right? Because that's a safe place for a relationship. She probably wouldn't have been able to have a relationship with a guy that was pushing her into it, right? And for you, maybe it was always hard to commit to somebody as well, right? That was putting pressure on you to perform normally right now, today, you know? I don't know.
Yeah. No? And my biggest issue with relationships is more just I'm very difficult to please. Well, I don't want to say I'm difficult to please, but I know when it's right and I know when it's not.
Right.
And so it wasn't really a fear of commitment. It was fear of committing to somebody I knew wasn't right.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not saying fear of committing. I'm saying fear of, like, you know, the intimacy aspect to a relationship with a girl who doesn't have the issue that she has, that she wants to fuck you every day. You know what I mean? Like, being in every relationship, everyone's like rabbits. You know, they're doing it all the time. There's that chemistry. And I would assume it would be, you know, there would be some fear attached to going into a relationship with a woman who has a normal sex drive for because you're going to have to show up and perform every time.
Absolutely.
So yep, somebody like this, you don't even have to perform, really. You know, it just puts that, it takes away all the pressure. And I think that that's great. That's why I get why, I mean, I totally get why you guys would, you know, be like, this is where I want to hang my hat.
Right. And it's, I'll tell you, as someone with sexual dysfunction, as a male with sexual dysfunction, it's very frustrating to have a partner say, well, I'm the guy in this relationship because I want sex more than you do. It's like, no. Let's talk about this because, you know, from my experience, women like sex more than men, if not equally, then more. And so, you know, that was another aspect to it. It's like, okay, no, let's dial this back a little bit. But also, you know, the sexual dysfunction aspect of it, like, it's not just, if you're on a treatment, it's not spontaneous. You know, it's something you've got to plan. And so when your partner is ready to go at a moment's notice and you've got to take 10, 20, 30 minutes to wait for a treatment to kick in, that can start getting real frustrating real fast.
Yeah, I found it interesting in that movie. I mean, I'm going to put all the links to, you know, your short below. I thought it was fascinating. Anybody with this problem should go and watch it. I thought it was great that you had those doctors and they're all over the country, right? Because someone could actually reach out to them. And, you know, I love the guy in New York City. I live in New York, and I was like, oh, who do I know that I could send this guy's name? You know, he's like, this is what he specializes in, right? But there was one kind of treatment that it goes right in, right? Are those the injections?
Yeah, and it happens so the intravenous very fast. Injection. Yeah, it's about a 10-minute turnaround. I've actually, as part of the upcoming film, I actually got on film. I got, you know, me experiencing the injection.
Oh.
And so it can take anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes. Now the thing to remember about intracavernosal injections, and we're getting a little deep here on this treatment, but there's a thing called Bimix and there's a thing called Trimix, and Bimix is just, you know, simply a combination of two vasodilators. Trimix is a combination of three. The Trimix is, you know, there's no chance. Well, I don't want to say there's no chance it doesn't work, but it's more likely to work than the Bimix, where the Bimix requires some kind of stimulation, some kind of outside arousal. The Trimix doesn't need that.
It's going to happen
no matter
what.
It's coming up.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, what we found is when we filmed, you know, me getting this injection with the Bimix, I noticed it was relaxing. It was filling with blood a bit, but it wasn't coming up. And it's because, you know, the anxiety plus, you know, the nerves of being on camera and having a camera pointed right at your dick.
Oh,
waiting
my God,
for
not
it
good.
To,
not good.
to go up. Yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, with at least the Trimix, the injections, like 5 to 10 minutes, it's coming up. That's actually, surprisingly enough, I found out that's actually what a lot of porn stars use. To keep it up is the Trimix. Yeah. So they'll take the shot, depending on, you know, their abilities to get it up in front of a crowd and on camera. Mm-hmm. How it's explained to me is, you know, they'll get it up, they'll film the cum shot first, and then they'll take the injection so they can get it up and film the rest of the scene. Because, you know, a 30-minute scene is going to take you a lot more than 30 minutes to film. and they've got to find a way to keep it up somehow.
Yeah.
And so the injections are what they what they use primarily to help them stay up and ready.
Mm-hmm. And so you have another film, or like, is this short just a teaser for your full length?
So the short. So initially, when I thought about making the film about erectile dysfunction, I wanted it to be a feature length. But you know, lack of resources. I was in film school at the time as well, so lack of time. The first step was to make it into a short, just to get it out there.
Mm-hmm.
But the goal has always been to make a feature. But then, you know, over the course of the research and ramping up for the feature, you know, when I found out about, you know, how female sexual dysfunction is just as prevalent, has just as many issues, it was a natural progression to go from just erectile dysfunction into, you know, all sexual dysfunction in general.
And do a documentary about that.
Exactly. Yeah. So the initial goal was to make a feature from the beginning.
Right. So you guys are in the process now of doing that. I guess you would call it a documentary, right? About sexual dysfunction for both men and women. And that short is just like a teaser, because I know that you did say you were going to do you're looking for financial help, right? Through crowdfunding or something, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're launching a Kickstarter. The intended date of launch is August 17th on Kickstarter. And I mean, at the end of the day, like anybody who makes films will tell you, unless you've got a lot of friends who are willing to work for free and a lot of people who have equipment that are willing to let you work for free, you're going to need money. And I mean, the biggest thing, we've got a very small crew. We don't need much. Mm-hmm. And we've got all the equipment that we need for the most part, but traveling to get the interviews that we need and also getting the money for the treatments that we're all going to need so we can get that on camera and show people, you know, the process and how it can be done. That's going to require not a huge ton of money. Like we're definitely not a $1 million production, but you know, upwards of $60,000-$80,000 is what we're looking at.
So when you do a Kickstarter, do you put a certain amount, right? So what are you, right? Is that how it works, that you have to put it like a certain amount, mm-hmm, of your goal? And then if you reach that, you get that. Is it 80? Is that what you're looking for?
So we're still not settled on a goal. Mm-hmm. Cause the fear is, you know, you set a goal and then you don't hit it and it's an all or nothing thing. So either you hit your goal or you get nothing. So we're trying to figure out, just based off of, you know, who we talk to here in the lead up, what we think we can get from them, and also what we think, you know, we can get just from the people that we reach out to over the course of the month. That'll kind of dictate what we set our goal as. But regardless of what we get, it's going to give us some breathing room and help us move this thing along. And if we don't get everything that we need, you know, roll with the punches, find another place for the money to come from until we can get this thing done.
Right. And now you're short, right? Where can people find, mm-hmm, it? I'll include the link below, but also just give the, mm-hmm, like the destination here.
Yeah. So, I just hosted on a Vimeo page that I have. And I've got the link like on my Instagram. I've got a link in my bio there. Mm-hmm. That's honestly, that for me, that's the best way for people to find me is on Instagram, just because that's where I primarily just do film related stuff. And also, you know, sexual health related stuff. I'm always like sending stuff up on my story all the time about sexual health, and I'm getting a lot of people I didn't expect reaching out to me and saying thank you for putting this out.
Right.
So that's, I'd say Instagram is definitely the best place to go. And that, again, I've got the link to the Vimeo there.
And
in my
what's
bio.
Your Instagram?
So it's, I'll spell it out. So it's OH_HEY_Canada. So oh hey Canada.
Oh, hey, Canada. Okay, I'll put the link below.
Mm-hmm.
So OH_HEY_Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so people could find you there, but we're not done. Okay, I just wanted to give the shout out.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's great. I mean, I always say I do my show because I really do like helping people, right? So when you do hear from people, when you put something out and it really is reaching the right people, you know, there's nothing better than that. And I think, you know, that's great. Like you said, there are a lot of people, like a huge amount of people report that they have these issues, but imagine if really everybody did, how much larger that number would be, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this, as far as your girlfriend, she wasn't it. So the new thing that you're getting the Kickstarter for, that's going to be both for women and men?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that that's awesome. Now, listen, I had you on my show because I think it is a very important short film. I think in your short film, you have so much information on it. It stands alone. I feel like it's such a great start if anybody has. Do you call it erectile dysfunction? Am I calling it correctly? Is that the name?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just erectile dysfunction.
Yeah, if anyone has that, they should look at your shirt because I think there's so much great information as well as experts out there that people could contact for information if they want to help you along with your Kickstarter. I don't know when I'm going to air this, but I'll air it around. It's mid-August, right? You're going to be doing that Kickstarter?
Mm-hmm. Yep, we're aiming for an August 17th start date. So with anybody, you know, anybody who's listening who does have, you know, some kind of sexual dysfunction, the thing to remember is, and this is something I didn't really realize until fairly recently when we were filming interviews and doing research, is doctors, despite how, you know, educated they are and how used to all this they should be, doctors are still human.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here in America, they're still Americans. And so they're just as squeamish talking about sex as most people are.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are having sexual dysfunction and you go in to see your doctor and you're not getting, you're not satisfied with the treatment that you're getting because they're not as fully invested in getting you better as you are, find another doctor.
Totally.
Don't stop until you find somebody who's 100% committed to being open and honest with you and helping you figure this thing out. Because, you know, at the end of the day, as with everything, you have to be your own advocate. So advocate for yourself until you've found the solution and you're happy with it.
Yeah, it needs to be somebody who really specializes in that, right? I mean, if you just go to your, you know, I would think a urologist is the right start, right? Maybe, but a lot of these doctors have blinders on. You know, they studied, they got their degree, and, you know, they know the basics and that's it, right? But like the people that you have on, those doctors, like it's more their specialty, right? So they're really experts in that exact thing.
Right, yeah, urologists. But even, you know, even urologists, even people who specialize in this, they're still a little iffy about talking about sexual health, you
right.
know,
mm-hmm.
'Cause it is, you know, for the most part, it does tend to be a physical issue. And so they'll attack that, but they won't really talk about the emotional side of it, or, you know, they won't talk to you about the quality of your sex life pertaining to your sexual dysfunction. So it's almost like you have to find a doctor / therapist.
Yeah.
Like somebody who's got the medical background and the experience and the education, but they're also in tune with the emotional side of things,
mm-hmm.
like a licensed mental health counselor would be. That's sometimes a little difficult to find.
Yeah, that's a harder thing to find, right? I know that I told you I had a guest on recently. He taped again. I haven't aired it yet, but he was on recently, and he was the guy with diabetes who has an erection. But he told me he had one recently, and he didn't know how it happened. But I was like, that's like your fucking hope right there. Like, if it happened once, it could happen, you know? And then after I watched your short, I sent it to him. I'm like, please contact one of these doctors in the film.
Right. Yeah. And that's amazing that you sent that to him and told him to reach out, because That was the goal, is like, all right, if you've got this, first off, know that you're not alone. Second, know that it's treatable and there are people to talk to. And,
yeah.
And May's Sexual and Reproductive Health in New York, they're the only clinic in the country that combines medical staff with mental health staff. Like,
no,
when
I know,
you go
I love
in for
it.
A consultation for,
yeah.
Yeah, they're the only ones where it's required that you see an actual doctor for the physical side, and
yeah.
you also see a therapist for the emotional side in combination.
Yeah, I love that guy. I told you, like, there was no try, you can, you might. It was like, every single guy you come in, we will get you an erection. I mean, he didn't, he wasn't promising miracles. He's, you know, he knows the facts and he's the real deal. And that's why I was like, when I sent it, I was like, oh my God, this is so great. Because it really does. Like I said, you did the work for people, right? You found the guys out there that really know what they're talking about and don't have a problem talking to people about it. And nowadays, because mm-hmm. of COVID, everyone, you know, there's so much telemedicine is just like all the rage. So everyone has that capability now. So people that have that issue and that problem, they don't have to go and spend 5 hours. I mean, it could spend me days trying to find the right expert that I'm looking for. Right? Or not weeks, months. You have a couple experts in there, right? For people that, you know, for people with this problem to reach out to. And I think that that's great, because that's the kind of mm-hmm. information that people are looking for and that I would be looking for in a short like that, or, you know, a documentary, like who could I reach out to? And I think that the guys that you had there were great. And that's a great start, you know?
Mm-hmm. And also, anybody who's listening to this who is dealing with erectile dysfunction and is looking for a community, a group of people who know exactly what you're going through.
Yeah.
First off, Facebook is not your friend. I'm a part of a couple of Facebook groups dedicated solely to erectile dysfunction, and let me tell you, they're frustrating.
Oh, interesting.
But if you are looking for a community, oh man, there's so much misinformation there.
Yeah.
If you are looking for a community, though, there's Paul from the documentary. His website is franktalk.org, franktalk.org.
Mm-hmm.
That is a totally anonymous member site. It's free to sign up. It's free to be a part of it. There's a full discussion board with tens of thousands of other guys who are dealing with the same thing that you are.
That's awesome.
That is a great place to start, is to go just read the discussions and find the people who are dealing with the same thing you are and go from there. Like, emotional support is such a huge thing no matter what it is you're dealing with. And the fact that, you know, they've got this community out there, because one of the frustrating things is like, you know, no matter what illness you have, you're going to find a wealth of support groups, whether it's online, whether it's in person. Erectile dysfunction and sexual dysfunction in general is not that. So the fact that there's at least one reputable, large online community out there that you can interact with and get help from is really encouraging.
And how smart that they made it anonymous. Like, I think the worst thing would be on Facebook. Like, who's going to do it on Facebook? I don't know. I think that would be really hard for some people, right? Because Facebook is like exactly who you are. It's got your name, it's got your picture, and then you're going to go and it's going to show up that you're involved in this group. And probably a lot of people, you know, maybe wouldn't want to put that out there. But I think it's great that they made it anonymous, right? So people could go to this guy's blog. I'm going to put a link to that as well. And people could sign up anonymously and get the support and the help. Because I think that's always half the battle, right? Is just knowing that you're not alone and knowing that there's other guys out there like you. And like you said, there's tens of thousands on that website, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's amazing. And that's where people should go and watch your film. They could go to that blog and then they could find, you know, and could they email you as far, like, could they contact you? I guess they could DM you on Instagram. I'll put your Instagram link too if anyone wants to talk to you.
For sure. Yeah. Shoot me a DM on Instagram.
So people could go. I'm going to put the link. Last thing I'm going to say again is you could go see your short in the link below. They should contact you or find everything you have to say on your Instagram. That link will be below. And if they want to donate for your upcoming project, they should go to Kickstarter, and I'll include that link as well below.
Absolutely. Yeah, that'd be great.
Thanks so much for coming on and being so honest about all your stuff. Like, I mean, I feel like maybe I pushed you to give me all the details about you and your girl, but that's what's going to be on your full length, right? So it's not like it's something that people don't know.
Yeah, no, it's definitely something that we're going to have out there in the open. So talking about, actually, this is great. This is great practice for how we're going to have to be open and honest about it. So
yeah, I wish I had her on and you on together. I wish I could have talked to her. But you know, it is what it is. But you know, that's great that you were so honest about it.
Yeah, and I'm so appreciative of you for having me on here just to kind of spread the message and also, you know, to get the word out about what we're trying to do with the next effort and the crowdfunding. But at the end of the day, it's all about spreading the information out to as many people as we can find, because, like you said, the worst thing about going through anything like this or anything similar is feeling like you're the only one, like you don't have anybody who knows what you're going through.
Yeah.
So yeah, at the end of the day, the more that we can spread this out there to let people know that they're not alone, there are treatment options, there is hope, that the better.
Listen, I don't know that you need you're going to do the full length, and it's going to be a lot more information, but there's a ton of information. It's such a great short. It gives you all the information that you need, as well as experts for people to reach out. And I think it's a really important topic. And I love helping people. That's why I do my show, and I really believe that this episode and you will help people. So I'm so glad that you called in. I think you're short, you know, it's not just full of interesting stuff, it's done well, so people will go check it out. And thanks so much for coming on, and the right people who need to find this episode will.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on. And since now that I'm thinking about it, your episode with Dr. Joe Court was amazing.
I love
everything
him.
He was saying. I'm nodding my head emphatically at everything he's saying. Like, that was such a great episode.
But that's where you need to go. You know, I talked to somebody off air the other day, and they were looking for somebody because they were dealing with some sexual stuff, you know, like in their head. And, you know, he has a whole practice of people, and that's what they deal with. You know, it's not just a therapist, but it's a therapist who is dealing with sexuality, right? I mean, that's what he specializes. Mm-hmm. He doesn't talk to people anymore, but he has a whole staff of people who do. And I would think, because he's a smart guy, that he has people on staff that really help people. So maybe you and your girl look into that place for therapy, for future therapy for you guys. But yeah, the way I aired his is the way I'll air you guys. It's a bonus episode. You know, my regular episodes that I air on Sundays are typically more like along the lines of like the, you know, the people's stories. But like stuff like this that I believe it really helps people, and I love to use my platform to promote things like this. Like, I always air them as bonus episodes. So this will go out as a bonus episode, like his episode, because, you know, I think it was very beneficial for people to hear that. And I feel the same way about yours. And I'm glad that you enjoyed Dr. Quartz, because can you believe what he had to say? People should go listen to that episode too. It's like, he was amazing.
Oh, it was so good. He's probably somebody, because I mentioned him to Paul, because we're working with Paul pretty heavily on this upcoming film as well. And he's like, oh, yeah, I know Dr. Joe. He's amazing. I'm like, okay, cool. We're going to reach out to him as well. We need to talk to him as well.
Yeah, get him on your fucking, on your next project. So yeah, keep me posted if he works with you, or let me know when that's done. But everyone go and support your Kickstarter. And thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me, Kathy. This was amazing.
Awesome. Thanks, Aaron. Bye.
All right, see you.
Hey, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in to this week's episode. If you want to follow the show, follow me at Strict Anonymous on Instagram or Twitter. That's at Strict Anonymous. If you are on YouTube, make sure to subscribe. I love YouTube as a platform for my show, because people comment there and I try to reply back to every single person who posts a comment. So even if you're not listening on YouTube and you want to talk about the show, go to my YouTube channel, subscribe, like, and share my videos. It's Strictly Anonymous Podcast. If you want to sign up for my Patreon, on my Patreon, you are not only supporting my show, but you will get these episodes early, ad-free, and you get to see anonymous picks of my guests. Most of the girls send in anonymous pics, and some of the guys send in anonymous pics. So if you want to see anonymous pics of my guests, as well as support my show and get these episodes early and ad-free, sign up for my Patreon, patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. That's patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. The link is also in the description below. Thanks so much for listening.
Do you have a story, lifestyle, or situation you can't talk about to anyone, Or do you just want to let your freak flag fly and be on the show? Well, Strictly Anonymous wants to hear from you. Send us an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com, with your story and your anonymous name. And remember, everything is Strictly Anonymous. Strictly Anonymous.